See you in an hour. No. You didn't like that joke, no, love. God has a sense of humor. He really does. That's why on the 9th of May, I'm going to say it, I'll say it a few times, be here on the 9th of May, and you'll realize it's a good time for us to laugh. Have you ever had Christian comedy? Yeah, it's an opportunity. Really talented comedians can make you laugh without having to be vulgar. And we're going to have one. Anyway, I think he is. He might call himself, he might not think he is, but on the 9th of May, be ready. I just have to say, and I hope you feel the same, that there is absolutely nothing that compares to being part of the local church. So it really is the most authentic experience as a human being you can have around life. When you just see a family start to express their gifts like you've just seen. It, you know, we can watch BGT and ACT and all these amazing talent shows, and really at the end of the day it's all about money. But when the family of God begins to express their creative gifts, it is absolutely glorious. And as we would facilitate that more, I trust, as the church begins to grow in fire and power, we are going to see so much more of this, because you guys don't realize that you are so talented and so anointed in every area of life. And it's so good to see that just beginning to blossom in front of us. So Christoph was meant to be preaching, and one of the things we've always preached is that you should have a preach in your back pocket. So Diane, thanks very much. Over to you. You know what? I say that because I know you do have a preach in your back pocket. Do you want to say something? Do you have a word, a one-minute word? Come on. We should be in season and out of season, like those trees, the banks of the river. The word of God is in us, like it's fire in our bones for all of us. I dare not, I cannot but preach the word of God. Because it's in me. It doesn't matter. My preparation happened many years before, didn't it? Diane, just sanitize. Get some sanitizers there. 1 minute word, Diane, because we're already on 4:07.
Please, let's pray. No, I'm kidding. You know, I haven't been feeling good all week, haven't been feeling great. And so today when I came, and I came in late and I didn't go to prayer, the normal thing, but you know what? It doesn't matter to God, because God is looking for a yielded vessel. He's looking for someone who will just say yes. Now, I've got nothing special in me, I promise you. And if God could, you know, I was sitting there and I was worshiping and I was just like, it was so hard. But all of a sudden, it's like the Lord just opened up my, I don't know what, it was in worship. And I think it's usually in worship that he just opens up the heavens and he starts to speak. And if you have just, your ear is just a little bit tuned in that time of worship, or even if it isn't, he can still speak to you. And I know in worship he speaks all the time. Really trust God for that. Trust God that in worship he ministers to you the answers to your questions, just things that you are trusting him for in worship, in the offering even, like Elise mentioned about the offering. It's in those things that God speaks. It's not just an act. But when you step out and say yes, and you just say, okay, here I am. What is it, Lord? Here's my worship. Here's my offering. He's there speaking to you. And he's got just the right word for you. Maybe even in the preach. And I know we should all come and say, Lord, what is it that you have for me to say, to hear today? And yes, you should be saying, what is it that you have for me to say? And here I am. But yeah, I just wanted to just encourage you in that. And I really feel Jesus is the yes. And if we just say yes, he will take us from being here and maybe next year in... Now I'm thinking of Alaska, actually. you know, so just, yeah, trust God in those times of worship and in those times of offering and in those times of listening to the preach. God is speaking, and he's speaking right to you, giving you a yes word. Amen.
Isn't that marvelous that on the week that Diane feels least prepared, on the day that she arrived right when prayer meeting was finishing. On the week she probably hasn't had all her quiet times, God would now decide, now Diane, is the time for you to preach. You see, I just love the reality of how God is speaking. This is not about your performance. It's about you just being surrendered and available to Jesus to say, it doesn't matter if I've had a bad week, good week. You are anointed, appointed, right there to administer heaven on earth. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who leads us so graciously. So Christoph has hurt himself, so it gives me the opportunity to finish that Fishers of Men from last week. So there's like a mini series in the red letters, the Fishers of Men. We are each fisherman, and I'm going to very briefly recap where we were and then finish a few things to help us become great fishermen. I watched Ian McCormack's video about being resurrected from the dead. Who's watched that? Stung by the blue bottle? The box jellyfish in Mauritius, the 80s. Have you seen that? It's most authentic. 1, 2, 3. We'll put a link on the news on the letter that on Wednesday. If you haven't given us your email address, please give it to Murican, and you can get that Wednesday letter from us. I'll put a link to that. The most authentic back from the dead experience I've certainly witnessed. He was dead for 15 minutes, and he so beautifully articulates light and darkness. But he gets commissioned in that moment to come and share that testimony as he has done around the world so that he can fish for people. And I said this, guys, there are people around us. There are situations all around us. People are desperate to hear the good news, and that needs to come from each of you. And I spoke about the reality that Jesus is building his church and that we will be most alive when we are doing that. I shared around this identity shift that happens when you become a Christian. You are no longer defined by what you do, but you're defined by whose you are. And as Peter and James and John were fishermen, they got called into the kingdom full time. But we see as the story progresses, as Paul still was making tents, but he was most defined by being an apostle. And each of you are most defined by whose you are. And so just remember, you are first a fisherman, and then you can be an entrepreneur and everything else God's called you to be. And I spoke about the sacred secular stress that we all live in as we stress between, oh, Sunday I'm on fire for Jesus, the rest of the day I'm not, and how the Jews are again still revealing Jesus to us as they continue to solve the world's problems, more patents per square capita than any other nation, still called upon by all the nations for all manner of solutions to problems. Because Jesus is a God that solves our greatest problem, and you, as you begin to solve the problems of the world, that becomes a testimony and an invitation, as Ian McKellar so beautifully spoke about, like the Quakers showed us, into a kingdom of God reality. And so as Tando drums for Jesus, and as Josh strums for Jesus, and does various other things, as I cremate pets for Jesus, so these become redemptive invitations into a deeper conversation around why do we do the things we do the way we do them. And so everything becomes an expression and an invitation to Jesus, everything that we do. And when you come into my house, I've decorated it, I've put paintings up there, I have music playing, I have asked for the wisdom of Solomon to decorate and lead my home in such a way that when you come into my home, you experience a presence where I trust you'd say, why is your home like it is? Because it's anointed with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, which is inside of me and my wife. And I spoke about what stops us doing this. And I spoke about the reality of idols that still plague us. The same Asherah poles and Baal worship we think that's of the old days, but it was really an invitation to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And even though some of us aren't maybe that far off, these idols still do come and distract us. And I spoke about how Solomon has done us a favor because he lived and experienced everything that hedonism yearns for. So each time you are tempted to have this lifestyle that certainly TV and Hollywood portrays, just remember someone greater than all of Hollywood has done it all. And at the end of his life, he said, I've tried all things, but at the end of the day, I've realized that it all comes down to surrendering and making Jesus' ways my ways, and there experiencing the fullness of life. And so we need to deal with those idols that tempt us. And what I said is that when we start to become fishers of men, what happens, all the chemistry that we so desire in satisfying the deep needs of our heart, when we start to want excitement or want intimacy, all these things that human beings have been designed by God to need, we get fully satisfied when we fully get on mission for Jesus. Don't be one of those people. That's why Jesus, don't be lukewarm. He says, I spit you out. It's such a horrible place, as in World War II. You're in no man's land. Exactly that. And what happens in no man's land, you get taken out. You get on fire for Jesus. And never lose that fire until the day he calls you home. Never. He is the God for every season of life. And in the creative ability of the one who created all this living inside of you, you are able to live a life and an abundant life in everything we did. And I said, well, let's talk about a few things that are going to help us stay there. I spoke about prayer, and I spoke about the power of prayer. Jesus prayed for a night and ministered in a moment. The only thing that disciples asked Jesus to teach them was how to pray. They recognized that his power, his anointing, and his life came from a prayer life. And as we would give ourselves to prayer in all the dimensions of prayer, as I spoke through, so we would begin to experience the power we need to live a life that is only possible by the Spirit. And I touched on the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to take it up from there again. I'm going to just take a few things deep in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about the fact that Jesus told stories. I'm going to touch on the supernatural dimensions in which we live, and then finish again in the fact that you and I have been called, like Jesus, to take a small group of people and to become really intimate with that, and to establish the kingdom by giving what we have, 2 Timothy 2:2, to others. That's what Christoph said to me. He said, Mark, the scripture in my mind, as I have now been injured, is 2 Timothy 2:2. You see, God immediately just started speaking to Christoph through this trauma of an injury, saying, Christoph, don't worry. The whole mandate on you and Mark and everyone else is to make disciples that make disciples. You being taken out a bit gives an opportunity, as we even just heard, what worship we just heard. Look at that worship, and there's more to come. We've got to get out the way so you guys can step into what God is doing. And that's what Jesus did. So let's pick up a little bit on the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was anointed. And I just said there's this dynamic of becoming dependent on God. And what Jesus so modeled with was absolute dependence on his Father. And I just spoke about this thing. We've got to be wise to the reality for two things. One, it's for those of us that have children, to then ask God, how do we teach our children to become dependent on the Father? If we want our children to be so independent, we're actually modeling something that Jesus was. We've got to teach this idea of dependence on the Father and everything that that means. And then I think to be wise and to minister to yourself, to then recognize, what did your own parents give you? Were they potentially abusive? Were they distant? Were they absent? And you've got to start ministering to yourself and realize that your own relationship with your own parents has either affected, and it will have, it always will affect your relationship to the Father in heaven and your dependence on him. If you've gone to boarding school at 6 years old, I can tell you, you had to survive pretty quickly. I often meet these guys at boarding school. In fact, I was with my banker the other day. He sent his 9-year-old to boarding school. I'm not saying I understand that needs to happen, but just understand that you are either a son or a survivor. And we live in a world with a famous TV program, Survivor. We love survivors. We love to be hard to survive, and we love to win. And part of the journey as a son of the living God is to learn how to minister to yourself first, to find healing in a hard heart. Because a survivor's heart gets hard. When Jesus said to the disciples, you can't get divorced, they said, that's impossible. And he said, it's because your heart is so hard. And what makes our hearts hard is the sin that we have self-condemned, we have done and then condemned ourselves, or the things that other people have done to us have made us hard. It's the only way you can cope is to become calloused. Why do you think serial murderers and rapists are callous? They would never be able to handle the emotional trauma they do on other people if their hearts weren't calloused and hard. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, the surgeon's knife comes and he divides marrow from bone and he gets into the depths of our heart and he heals us. And then we learn to become dependent on God as he wants to flow in and through a vessel that has been healed. Because you can't give to other people that you haven't got yourself. The same healing that he gives you to your own heart, you can now start giving to those. And that becomes, and you become an expert fisherman. The pain of your past becomes bait. Smelly sardines, anointed in the Holy Spirit, that catches some fish. And that gives you an adrenaline rush. As I was saying, it's exciting when you start to catch fish for Jesus. So he anoints you, you become dependent on him. And what Jesus so beautifully demonstrated in his life is this, he was just, as he was dependent on his Father, he absolutely showed us in every sphere of life that he had everything that he needed. Oh, Jesus, come pay the taxes. Go and catch the first fish and get the coin out of his mouth. Don't you love that story? You don't think he knew that Judas was stealing from him all the time? I mean, I love that. We all need accountants, but and we all have petty cash, maybe, you know, but Jesus had his petty cash. He wasn't so worried. He knew Judas was stealing from him. Do you think he worried about that? We saw in the life of Jesus as the Holy Spirit came on him. So at 12 years old, he understood more of the scriptures than the greatest scribes. Yet 18 years later, he was released into ministry. We see this process where Jesus was perfected in and mastered his gift. Are you under the grace of the Holy Spirit mastering a gift right now? God said to me, I am a man. I wrote a poem once. If I could dream 1,000 dreams, I'd hanker after one, because if How does it go? Wow. God gave it to me. I know it wouldn't be done. He's promised me more than I could dream because he loves me. So why should I not believe in something that I know? There's a sense that God has put that I have many dreams. But of all those dreams, I know God said, master the sword, the word of God. Become a master of something. And you guys need to become a master. Jesus was a master at ministry, but he was a master craftsman as well. And Jesus grew up in strength and favor in front of people, and they recognized mastery on him. What is the gift and skill you're mastering? I'm mastering kind of marketing at the moment and in our own business. But are you mastering? And we just saw some masters on the musicians here. What are you mastering? What gift are you mastering? They say, if you master something, you will stand in front of king's courts. That's what the Bible says. And when you're standing in front of the king, you will then bear witness to your king who gave you the capacity and the discipline to master something so that you could give glory to him in whatever you do. I said, are you the wine of the party? When you go to a party, are you like Jesus? He turned that water to wine. Are you ready to not worry about what other people think and just give yourself away and get the party going because you love a great celebration? Jesus was the wine of the party. And he was equally adept at mourning and coming alongside and helping Martha and Mary when they lost their brother, weeping with them, crying, feeling. You see, his heart wasn't hard. His heart was soft. And so he was emotive and he could feel the pain. And he could come and identify with your pain. And when you start to identify with other people's pain, you start to bring them and invite them into this amazing journey with Christ. He had the most appropriate response to all of life. That's what the anointing, that's what the baptism of the Spirit is. It's being immersed with God. It's handing yourself over to God. It's dying to yourself so that Christ can fully live in you. That's why I say, what is the secret to marriage? It's death. Because as you die to yourself, the anointing of Christ flows through you. And if you both partners do that, they marry to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Love life on fire. But we don't like to die. Or we make it a slow death on the cross. Jesus has done it. Jesus told riveting stories. I'm going to get to that. He lived in the supernatural. I'll double click on that. But he lived in intimate relationship. Are you a person that is a bit like a prickly pear? You won't let people get close to you. See, John came and put his head on Jesus' chest. Could trust Jesus. Can people trust you? Are you untrustworthy? Are they afraid? Do people feel unsafe when they're with you? Jesus was safe, and John put his head. I was thinking, are you a cactus? Or are you that luscious green grass? What's the difference between the cactus and the grass? The cactus has got no water. Or lives in dry climate. But when you are saturated with the dew of heaven, you're like this meadow of grass that people can come lie down in. Are you passionate? Seriously. Honestly. Are you as passionate about Jesus as you are about your rugby side or your soccer side? Liverpool. Manchester. No, Sharks. Oh. Are you going to do that? Yeah. What about ladies? Have you seen a lady with their children? I see my wife with the children. Let me tell you, my wife loses no fear if someone touches that child. She'll be like a lion. Not safe at all. But are you like that for Jesus? He was marked by freedom and joy. He was a servant that understood massive authority, and an authority of the King of Kings. He washed the very feet of those he created. I want to double click on this. Jesus told stories. On the 9th of May, Sid Jolson is going to come and tell us some stories, because he's mastered, in my mind, the art of taking his life experiences and ministering to us through his own stories. His failures become grace and healing. And Jesus was marked by this riveting storyteller. He would look at the environment, he would look at the agricultural economy, and then he would start telling the most powerfully profound parables that so expertly displayed this lover wooing us into a relationship, but only taking us a little bit far, and then asking, are you a little bit dull, disciples? You don't understand? And I'm doing that like a fisherman. I'm just tempting you with my bait. I'm giving you a sniff, but how hungry are you? How hungry are you for my love? And likewise, we've got to take the stories that have happened to us, and we've got to start becoming great storytellers. You can do it. You know, when you go to a party, guys, I used to always say, Lord, I want to tell the jokes. I want to tell the funny jokes. I want to also have some stories. I had to practice. You see, I think so often we just say, well, I'm not going to be that. No, Jesus, you have got a story. Lauren, you have a story. You have many amazing stories, and you do Liz as well. You can tell so many stories, so many things God told you when you were changing nappies for 16 years in a temple or two. And you start taking that experience and you start mastering, and then the Holy Spirit help you tell some stories. And as you tell stories, so you start inviting people into the kingdom as they experience something of your beauty. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm obviously tempted to tell you some of my stories, but I say this because Brazil in 2002 for me, the gold tooth, the black boots, Nile bodyboarding, hang gliding in Rio, selling fax rolls in London, treasure hunting, the lady with the red coat outside Blue Waters Hotel. And these are some of the stories. When I'm reading to my kids now, I mean, we've got different books we read, and obviously the boys want Bear Grylls, and Das wants Nancy Drew. And sometimes you think, well, I just want to get a bit more of a spiritual book. But in every single one of these books, I just say, we read the story, and then there's always a nugget that you can bring back to Scripture, and you can let them understand the Bible through the stories that they are hearing. And that's the art of life. That's what we do. We start listening to what's happening in this environment. We bring it under the anointing of God, and we then start ministering to people just like Jesus did, so that they can get some kind of direction as to what's really happening in their life, because you have the direction of the Holy Spirit, and you can make sense of life to a world that has no sense at all. That very good friend of mine, Nevin Davidson, who died at the beginning of this year, at his funeral, one of the lawyers, a Hindu man, said he just had to keep on repeating all the things Nevin told him, because in Nevin's very organic way, as they would just talk about life, he would weave it with scriptures in and out. And this man, this very, very successful lawyer, would find himself with other clients repeating the stories and repeating the scriptures and these very clever things that his friend just kept sharing with him. Jesus was marked by signs and wonders and miracles. And I keep on asking again, God, I can tell you some amazing signs and wonders and miracles that I think have happened in my life in the last 20 years. But what just happened this week? What's your story from this week? Or this last month? You know, Das said to me in the middle of 2019, she said to me, Dad, go and see your dad. Dad, you must go to London to see your dad. My 10-year-old daughter kept on saying, And I listened. I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to book my flight. I thank God. I thought about it now, just as we said goodbye to him 6 weeks ago. I thought, thank the Lord that I listened to my daughter, because that was the last chance I was going to get to see him, because I would never have been able to go over in COVID. This week, Greg Wiggily, he's at Glenridge, he's an elder here, good friend of mine. I just happened to pop in here, have a chat. He's on a surf ski, 2 km out, a fishing ski, catches a hammerhead, meter long. Greg's from Joburg, so he's not a salty sea dog, so he's, you know, he's still learning. You don't like try and wrestle a hammerhead. You cut the trace. Greg thought he's just going to wrestle this hammerhead. Very quickly, his hand got snared in a very lethal trace. They used three steel traces to catch these barracudas. And his hand was attached to a hammerhead, and that thing was thrashing around in the sea for 5 minutes, and he couldn't cut the cord because then the hammerhead, because he was attached to the hammerhead. It's going to take him for a ride into place at the bottom of the ocean. And so he wrestled this shark on top of the boat and put it upside down, and it calmed down a bit. And in that moment, he said, Lord Jesus, tell me what to do. And then he heard two snips, and that steel trace was cut, and his hand was immediately released. The angelic realm is all around us. What does the Bible say? Psalm 91. I cover you with my feathers. I'm there with you every moment of the day. We live a supernatural life. We have the access to supernatural encounters which enable us to become expert fishermen. And I'm just thinking hopefully Wayne will come here one day and tell us his Psalm 91 story, because that's another magnificent story about being smashed by a shark right 2 km out there and how God protected him through Psalm 91. But the point is, Jesus lived a completely supernatural experience from the day he was born a virgin, was with a child, to the day he died, resurrected from the dead. We serve a God who supernaturally wants to encounter you and all of us if we will just give the time and space to Jesus. He will enable us. And that's why we can all do it, because it's not really you. It's you just being available. That's why, isn't it beautiful? Diane didn't know. She didn't have to prepare. Her preparation happened years ago when she just said, Jesus, I want to give myself to you. And I finished this mini series of being a fisher of men by saying it again. Jesus' mission was to give grace that was on him to others. It's your mission to give the grace that's on you to others. Like Vessel said with those firemen, the grace on them to rescue others, they gave up their lives for others, so that others could continue. That's what we do. We're going out there fishing to bring others in. He spent 3 years with a select bunch of young men, and he gave what he had on him to them. That's why we keep on saying, home group, home group, home group. You give what's on you intimately over a three-year period. By the end of 3 years, if the guys haven't got what you got, then they must now go somewhere else. You haven't been a good teacher. Multiplying ourselves. He spent significant time with him. He multiplied himself through others. And as I said, you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are until you start doing that. It's fundamental to your spiritual walk. As much as every voice is telling you, you're not worthy. You're right, you're not. Neither am I, but he is. And the same supernatural God that walked on water and raised the dead and healed every disease and spoke to the storm, if you would just give yourself to that power, his power, so you will do the things he did and even more. Amen, Joshua. Shall I pray? Do you want to say something? You good? Shall I pray? Come on, Josh.
I can share something on the topic of fishing and being a fisher of men. A while ago, the youth was having a farewell for the reeds, and I remember something that Sean said to me, and it just came up now in my mind while Mark was preaching, and he said, he was talking about, obviously, his love for fishing, and he was just sharing about how fishing is actually so addictive. You know, he never thought about it before, but now that he looks back, he's like, flip, it's just so addictive, Josh. And he was saying, you know, like how there's always something exciting that happens with fishing. There's always a story to go tell when you come home, tell your friends about the experience, or how you almost caught this fish, but the line snapped, and there's always something to bring back home. There's always a story to share. And yeah, so I think it's almost like it's related to being a fisher of men and fishing for God's kingdom and other people, how it's actually so addictive, and you don't see it at first, but once you just start, it's just, there's nothing more exciting, there's nothing that brings more joy, and there's nothing that can satisfy you more than doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for this meeting that we had here today, and yeah, I just pray for further revelation, Father. You just give us a deeper revelation of being a fisher of men, and that there's, you'd reveal to us that there is nothing else, Father, that will bring us more joy than just pursuing you, Jesus, and stepping into what you have planned for us, Father. And we just commit this following week to you. We commit our work and our jobs, our school, our studies, everything to you, Father. And we would just open up our hearts to what you want to do, the new things that you want to do in and through us, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.